Bickley and Murata. Social Studies. Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com. That's CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
That's when we hand the keys of the vehicle over to Sarah Cazell to take us through. Which is good, because I'm a little weary from driving this long.
The vehicle for the burger, right?
Oh, yeah,
the
vehicle
for the burger.
That's right.
All right.
For those who are just now tuning in.
That would be the meat patty wagon. Is what that would be. See that?
I like.
Wake up, Jared.
Is this thing gone?
That was the right term.
No, the right version of a burger.
Yeah, the right version of a
vehicle.
I've used vehicle for food terminology as well, but even that kind of threw me off a little bit. But that's okay. We'll get to that later. Let's get into social studies. For those who are not familiar with social studies, it is we use your answers to our questions through Twitter specifically. So follow us there on Twitter at Bickley_Murata. The questions go up there, thanks to Jarrett, and I pull my favorite responses to read. So let's start out with something that we kind of touched on during the Rush Hour reboot earlier in the show, but with a slightly different angle. We asked then if you could pick any player to start a new NFL franchise with, who would it be? Now we are honing it into a list of four quarterbacks. So if you're starting an NFL franchise from scratch, who is your number one pick? Patrick Mahomes is not included because we figured that would be 100% of the vote.
Yeah. Right.
So are you picking Kyler Murray? Are you taking Lamar Jackson? Are you taking Justin Herbert? Or are you taking Russell Wilson?
I'm sticking with what I said earlier, even though we kind of twisted the answers.
Yes.
Slightly, I would take Lamar Jackson over Kyler Murray.
Slight margin. This is a fascinating question, because when you do take Patrick Mahomes out, you can build a case for Lamar Jackson, certainly. I think Lamar Jackson, he's got a much longer track record of doing it consistently and successfully than Kyler Murray does. But I would also look at what Kyler's done these first two games and say, okay, has he turned a corner? And from my vantage point, I'm hoping the answer is yes. So I would choose Kyler with the risk of sounding like, you know, Homer Hal.
And at 32 years old, is Russell Wilson completely off the board?
Starting a franchise?
Yeah. Yes. Because he's still in his prime for, you know, seven more years in today's NFL.
I wouldn't consider him. If I was presented with that opportunity as a general manager, I wouldn't consider him.
The other fourth option I was thinking about was putting Josh Allen instead of Russell Wilson.
That might have been more interesting, just because the age proximity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I'd still take Jackson.
Okay. Russell Wilson did probably not get as many votes because of the age situation. And
because he plays for the Seahawks.
Also that. Right. And the people who did write in mostly named Josh Allen as who they would go with. But it is 58% of the vote saying they would start their franchise with Kyler Murray. No surprise there. 19% went with Justin Herbert. 17% Russell Wilson. 7% for Lamar Jackson. 7. Wow. What?
Yeah.
I mean, that one guy on that list that's been the MVP, that guy?
It's disrespected often.
Yeah. All right, moving on to our next question. There are 7 2-0 teams in the NFL right now. The Raiders, the Bucks, the Niners, the Broncos, the Rams, the Cards, and the Panthers. Of these four, we plucked 4 out of that list of 7. Who is the best 2-0 team right now? The Cards, the Rams, the Niners, hello NFC West, or the Buccaneers?
I know what I would answer, Bick.
What would that be?
The Buccaneers.
Okay.
Defending champs, 2-0. Their defense looks shoddy a little bit.
Yeah.
And they've given up a lot of
passing yards.
But I think they have the ability to outscore anybody. Now, Antonio Brown just went on the COVID-19 reserve list today. Mm. So that will probably affect them this week. But that's where I'd vote right now, Buccaneers.
Buccaneers, all right.
It's hard to argue, even though I really want to. They are the defending champions, and Tom Brady's still playing at that level. I'll go with Vinny.
Yeah. That's completely
fair.
I'd
vote Rams, too, but I just think you have to vote the Bucks in that.
Yep, and that is what our voters thought as well. 61% of them went with the Bucks, and because they are the defending Super Bowl champs. 22% said the Cardinals are the best 2-0 team in the league right now. 16% went with the Rams. 1.1% given love to the 49ers. And then we got a write-in vote for the Panthers. Okay, Corpus Shasta. Thank you. All right, moving on to our next question, my favorite question for sure, for today's social studies at least. The new trailer for Kurt Warner's movie that's coming out later this year, that came out yesterday, the trailer.
American Underdog.
American Underdog, Zachary Levi starring as Kurt Warner. So we are asking, who would you pick to play each of the four of us? In a Bickley and Murata mornings.
This question's blown up.
I have to admit, when I saw the question, I didn't see any of the answers, and I was like, oh, no. This is going to be just... this is going to be fuel for self-loathing for the rest of the day.
Only if you're me. I'm the only one that they, like... Pick terrible ones.
Yeah, I see people are picking, like, Brad Pitt for Vinny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
I can see it.
Most of the responses took it seriously, I think, and tried to pick accurate...
I have 3/4 of the cast picked out. I can't narrow one down for Bick.
Really?
Yes.
Who do you have for the rest of us?
For you, Sarah, Kirsten Dunst.
Okay.
Oh.
I went with Lil Dicky for Jarrett.
Love.
And I went with Sandler for me. I think he's got the range to really capture the depth that is me.
Of course.
But I couldn't come up with one for Bick.
Really?
Dan, who would you want to play you?
Wow. I'm such at a disadvantage here because I am not immersed in the cinematography world, the Hollywood world that you guys all are. I'm just not. So I don't have a wide range of people to choose from. So just tell me some of the responses and I'll tell you what I think.
Okay, that sounds good. Jarrett, who would you want to pick you? Or to play you, rather?
So he's about 10 years older than me, but I always thought Sacha Baron Cohen.
Oh, yeah.
Resembled me a little bit. He's better looking. But the answer actually is, but he's problematic now, so I wouldn't cast him. Thomas Middleditch kind of looks like me, has the same kind of personality, and is the same age as me.
Why?
Wait, what happened?
I didn't hear why he's problematic.
Oh, gosh.
Give it a goog.
Okay.
Give it a goog? All right.
Yeah, give it a goog.
Great. Okay, but maybe not on your work computer.
Man, that whole Silicon Valley cast is becoming...
I know.
Gosh.
All right.
Okay. We were truly all over the place. Jarrett mostly got Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah.
Weird Al.
Screech,
which would be a little bit difficult seeing as he is no longer with us. Pauly Shore. You got one for Pauly Shore?
He's available.
Sasha Baron Cohen does show up in the replies a little bit. And Tom Green, too. So people went with very funny guys and most of them with curly hair. Let's see. From what? Dave Burns. Dave Burns says, Bob Odenkirk for you, Vince.
Okay.
Keanu Reeves for you, Dan Bickley.
How about that?
Okay.
Seth Rogen for you, Jarrett.
I think that's kind of a knock. Bick's a better actor than Keanu Reeves.
What?
It must be that laid-back personality.
Yeah.
And then he picked Saoirse Ronan for me, which I really like as that pick. And Dave Burns watches a lot of movies. So he
does.
I want to get to this one from Jordan Simone, who we have had on to talk about ASU. Okay. Vince Murata, Tom Cruise. Dan Bickley.
Totally see it, Jordan.
Robert Downey Jr.
Okay.
Jarrett, Brad Pitt.
Spot on so far.
Sarah, Judy Dench.
Wow.
Judy Dench.
80-year-old Judy Dench.
One of the great actors of our time.
Great actor. Versatile.
Incredible.
Versatile.
7 decades older?
Right.
Maybe not quite seven,
A lot of people said Emma Stone, Amy Adams for Sarah.
Yes, some Jennifer Lawrence.
This was very flattering.
Kristen Bell.
Charlize Theron.
I did not.
God bless. I have to get
Cameron Diaz.
But your fiance chimed in.
Oh, did he?
I think he did.
I didn't even see it. What did he write?
He's blocked.
Some people said Mark Wahlberg for Dan.
I am Steve Beyonce Buscemi always. For Dan. Yeah. I have to shout out quickly two of our listeners, Zachary Travis and Brian R., both of whom just picked Eddie Murphy for all four
That's
of us.
That's great.
he does like to do that.
We are the clumps.
Yeah, because Eddie. Yeah, because he's played so many so many movies where he's played multiple characters.
Roles.
Mike
yeah.
Myers could have been picked for that too. Except we prefer it to be funny.
Ouch.
There you go. Thanks for all those responses. I'm
yeah, it's crazy how that question blew up.
Feeling pretty good about myself.
Yeah. Scroll through on Twitter, epically underscore Murata. There were way too many responses to get to.
Can I just say one?
Please.
Doubter Space suggested Patton Oswalt for me, and the only reason I'm bringing this up, do you guys know who the roast comedian Lisa Lampanelli is?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Back in at a former radio show, she used to come in studio and do her unique brand of comedy, and she once called me a Patton Oswalt lookalike on the air.
What?
And it was devastating.
You look nothing like him to me.
Yeah,
it
not
was
at all.
Devastating. I love Patton Oswalt, but I don't want to look like the man.
Wow.
That's fair.
Thank you, Sarah. Social studies every day at 9 o'clock. We do it on Twitter. At Bickley underscore Murata is where you can get involved. Coming up next, be careful what you say about Aaron Rodgers, because he hears all. We'll tell you more next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata. Hash marks.
It's absolute horse to give a platform to people who have no idea what they're talking about as far as my mental state and, you know, my focus, my work habits. People that have not been around me, they're not in my life. I don't have communication with them or not in the locker room. I mean, that's just, it's chicken, you know, it's so ridiculous that people get a platform to do this, and it's the same type of people.
It's Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show, where he goes weekly and unloading on some of the media that have accused Aaron Rodgers of having less than stellar work ethic at this point of his career, and that's the reason why. The reason why he played so poorly in the season opening loss to the New Orleans Saints is that he didn't treat the offseason with the proper amount of respect and work necessary to get ready for the season.
Right.
Then again, in week two, he comes out and he throws four touchdown passes and Green Bay beats a division opponent. I could see both sides of this. If somebody that you don't know, Vic, came out and said, wow, I listened to the show today, I don't think Bickley put in the right amount of work to get ready for a talk show in Phoenix, Arizona.
Right.
They don't know you. They don't know what your process is. They don't know what you're going through in terms of personal things. That would probably infuriate you.
Yeah. You've got a point.
So
But Bickley doesn't also tweet out pictures of him, you know, hiking with Hollywood actors during the offseason.
And tweeting about how I love this offseason of just kind of doing nothing.
And hosting Jeopardy.
And Jeopardy and being me. And this is a different kind of offseason for me. And I'm really enjoying this. And then, like he said, have a press conference where you basically just confirm everything that you've been saying and putting words to it. It's just so disingenuous to now rail on the process when you've used that process for your own good.
Yeah, but let me ask you this
flat out. What you're saying is right.
If you were on vacation, a double date vacation with Miles Teller and his wife in Hawaii, you'd probably tweet out pictures, wouldn't you?
Yeah, of course.
I would hope so.
Right. I would hope so.
But the problem that I have with Aaron Rodgers is at the heart of it, he made the heat on himself that much more intense with everything that he did / didn't do this offseason. And I'm not talking about getting ready for the season. I truly believe still to this day, Aaron Rodgers is in the top two or three of the most talented quarterbacks we've ever seen play in the National Football League and one of the best quarterbacks. But the vague nature, the passive-aggressive nature, you know, Jarrett referenced it earlier in the show, the press conference he opened training camp with, which was just basically a complaint session about the Packers. He's not endeared himself to the Packers fan base. A lot of people think this is his last ride in Green Bay. He could have handled it better. Mm-hmm. And when you handle things poorly and you continue to draw attention to yourself, you're going to get that heat that comes along with it, and that's what he's getting right now. So if you go out in an inopportune time in week one after that particular offseason, you stink up the joint,
right,
you're going to get criticism.
But it's also, I think now this is, yes, there's no doubt about that. The two are tied together, and you can't get by that. And, I mean, he's had, there have been, JerMichael Finley, former Packer, has questioned his work ethic, has questioned his his sense of belonging and commitment to the Packers.
And that might be exactly who Aaron Rodgers is referring to about people who have a platform who don't know what they're talking about.
Oh, maybe. Okay, but again, it's this is for a guy who is as savvy about the media as he is. To go and use Adam Schefter and others on draft day to make your unhappiness with the Packers the A1 story in football, then you know how the media works. And so I think this is proof this is going to be a real contentious year coming from him.
Unless they keep winning, which I think they lose this week.
But even if they keep winning, it's going to be a lot of squawking from him. Yeah, his attitude in week one confirmed a lot of what people were saying, and he looked aloof. He looked disinterested. He didn't throw a touchdown pass against a football team that was dislocated, relocated, whatever the word is, from New Orleans.
Displaced?
That's the word I'm looking for.
Discombobulated.
That was disgusting. No, that was
My football team, right. It's dislocated.
It's right, exactly. It's displaced. That's the word. Thank you, Vinny.
Yes.
You are on your game today, my man. That were displaced out of New Orleans, and you don't throw a touchdown pass in week one, and you saw what happened to the Saints in week two.
Oof.
Oof da.
Which, I guess one of the takeaways there is you probably need 8 members of your staff on game day to function in an NFL game because they didn't look like they were able to function. Another hash mark's going down to the college ranks. I know you noticed this. We had the discussion yesterday about Arizona losing to NAU in Tucson the other night. 15 straight losses. And not only are teams beating Arizona on the field, they're kind of having their way with them on social media, too. I saw this at, like, I guess the slogan, the football slogan for the University of Arizona, this social media is hashtag it's personal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. This is really quite something of a story, if you ask me. Jed Fish came in, and I've said this many, many times, and all the Wildcat alumni I've talked to, the amount of optimism for Jed Fish going into the season was crazy. To the point where people are like, we finally got the right kind of guy.
Not initially. It started off poor and then got to crazy.
It took a second.
Okay. Okay.
It was Armageddon the first day.
Okay. All right. But after that, he won people over in a variety of ways. But it's proof that coaching a football team is really hard when the games actually matter, when you actually start competing. And that's where he's at now. And so this it's personal slogan or motto or mantra, it's being used against him. I think at least two of their opponents have referenced this.
I know San Diego State did.
San Diego State did. Northern Arizona did.
Did any of you do it on social media or did they do it else?
I think it was at the stadium after the game.
Really?
Oh, actually, this tweet from Justin Spears, who covers the Wildcats for the Arizona Daily Star in Tucson. NAU assistant coaches near Media Row after the game, quote, it's personal, we run this state. So they were yelling that after the win.
The it's personal thing has become sort of a clapback for teams after they smoked the Wildcats. Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you call him, Jared? Jed McAfish? Is that what you call him?
John McAfish.
John McAfish. Fitz Rodriguez. Or Kefish Sumlin.
Uh-huh. Okay, but back to...
It can also be used this way if you ask individual Stoops. Arizona fans, how did you process losing to NAU in your home stadium? And the answer is always, hashtag it's personal.
But Dan, back to what you were saying about talking to the alums who, you know, have high expectations or whatever after getting to like Jed Fish, the mistake they are making is not keeping their enthusiasm separate from their expectations. You can be excited about what's happening while also understanding they could very well not win a game until the year 2022 or
That's
beyond.
That's true. I think you're right.
You can't be excited about a team and also think that translates to wins in year one.
Right.
It's not.
Right.
Clearly, it's not.
No,
it doesn't.
Maybe you pick a better slogan then. If
we have not won a game this decade, so that'd be nice to change.
I think the slogan should be "It's going to be personal in 2022." That's what they should amend it to.
It should be hashtag get off our backs.
Should be,
we're trying.
It should be we suck. Don't take it personally. It should be
hashtag did you see what Sumlin did when he was here?
Somebody recirculated a tweet just raving about we got Kevin Sumlin and there. He was the highest paid coach in the history of college football.
What?
In 2018. More than Nick Saban.
Wow.
Yeah. $12.5 million a year. Ten of it was being paid from A&M.
How
but
the
still.
Mighty have fallen. Pac-12 play opens up this weekend as ASU takes on Colorado Saturday at Sun Devil Stadium. Head to the contest page at ArizonaSports.com for your chance to win tickets. Coming up next, we talk NFL with Mark Schlereth here on Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. NFL analyst Mark Schlereth talks football with Bickley and Murata. Brought to you by Earnhardt Ford in Chandler, proud partner of the Arizona Cardinals. Visit EarnhardtFord.com.
Yeah, we're lucky enough to have Mark Schlereth back on Wednesdays to talk football with us, of course, from NFL on Fox 104.3 The Fan in Denver. Mark joins us right now. Mark, how are you today, sir?
I am doing great. Hey, let me ask you a quick question. Are you guys still doing a morning show? And have you reminded everybody that you're doing a morning show? Because I think that's a really important factor on this day, today.
Hold on.
September 22nd.
Hang on one second. Remind me what time your show is on in Denver there, Mark?
I'm a big-time morning show. I just don't have to tell everybody about
with a,
it.
That's... With a big-time rating, too. Right, Mark?
Touche. Touche.
Listen, I just got told today that I have to be nicer to my listeners. At what point did we get to the point, as guys, that we can't bust each other's onions?
Isn't that the whole point of being a man, Mark? To bust each other?
Right. It's like good old-fashioned sports hate. That's what you're supposed to do, that stuff. That's like a rite of passage for being a dude.
Don't they remember your epic beatdown of Jets fans? If you treated listeners nicely and fans nicely, we wouldn't have had that epic takedown of the Jets fans.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, me being asked not to be snarky is like, somebody dishing me up a big turd sandwich to eat. I acted like I was concerned, you know. I was like, yeah, I'll work on that. I'm going to work on that.
Right.
All right, Kyler Murray wins NFC Offensive Player of the Week after another great game. He could have won it in week one as well. Cardinals are 2-0, and it looks like, at least early on, Mark, that Kyler's making that jump. I mean, what have you seen from him so far?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, I think you see so much from him from the standpoint of understanding. And, like, when he is on time and when the offense is on time, they're really good. They're great on time. Now, I don't think it's a recipe, you know, for long-term success to throw it 35 to 45 times a game. I think eventually you're going to drop some like that. That's never going to be a recipe in my mind in the NFL for long-term success. But they are on target. He's on time with the football. They're really dialed in. The connection he has with Hopkins is DeAndre Hopkins. It's amazing. But it's the off-schedule stuff. It's the stuff when you do everything right as a defense and you've got him corralled, and that dude that guy goes straight schoolyard on you. You know, it's like, we all had that kid when we were 12 years old, you know, the kid that had the mustache at 12 and he was bigger and stronger than everybody else and he'd run all over you. And then by the time, you know, we got into high school, like he couldn't even make the team anymore and you wouldn't let him sit with you at the lunch table because then he wasn't cool anymore. You know, that kid.
That's
how we all grew up and you can't do that stuff anymore. I think it's probably one of the issues, but I digress. But we all had that. We all have that kid, and you know Kyler Murray is just that guy running around that you can't corral. I mean, he's just like the king of the playground right now, and I got to tell you, if you're a Cardinal fan, it has got to be so much fun every Sunday to sit down or go to the stadium and know that you're going to be thoroughly entertained. It's like the scene from Gladiator. Are you not entertained?
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just amazing what he's been able to do.
Well, the fact that he now when he scrambles, Mark, he keeps his eyes downfield and he's gashing teams with throws out of and teams don't know how to react to this. So I want to ask you, as a guy who's been on sidelines, what does that do to the morale of a defense when a coach is screaming at his defensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator's getting, hey, look, we're getting pressure. We're doing everything we can do here. What does that kind of player making those kind of plays do to an opposing defense?
It's crushing when you do everything right and you still get beat, right? You do everything exactly to the textbook, because the bottom line is when he starts to extend plays, I don't care who you are, you can't cover. I mean, you could be Stretch Armstrong, for crying out loud. You can't cover for 6 seconds. The athletes are too good on the other side of the ball. They know where they're going. And when things break down and it becomes schoolyard, then you just get a flow with the quarterback, right? So there's no route combination or anything. You're just going. And it is. It's like being on the playground when you're a kid. They're having fun. You can tell they're having fun. I think the thing that impresses me more than anything else about the way he's playing, though, is your ability when things do break down and you're scrambling all over the place, you know, that you still have, you're still cognizant of where all five eligibles are and kind of where they're going. And you mentioned, you know, keeping your eyes downfield, but it's more than keeping your eyes downfield. It's really having a sense and awareness of where guys are supposed to be. And that's the thing that's amazing to me. You know, we all talk, and I think we all get fascinated by speed and athleticism, right? Because it's the easiest thing in the world to see. Like, you don't have to know, you know, you don't have to know the difference between cover one and cover three. You don't have to know the difference between cover three buzz and cover one lurk. You don't have to know the difference between cover two and quarter half. You don't have to know any of that stuff. You can see speed and you can see athleticism and you can say, wow, that guy's really good. But it comes down to your ability to process information. And the speed and athleticism from the neck up is where I'm impressed. Like, those are the guys to me that last for a long time and are great players when you can process information at the snap of your fingers and do the right thing on a consistent basis. That's what blows me away. And being able to do that in a frenetic, when things are broken down and you got 300-pound guys that can flat out run trying to decapitate you, and you still have the ability to process everything you're seeing and throw an accurate ball, it really is fun to watch. I mean, I sit back down and you know, I go back through the cut-ups and watch these games because I know I'm going to talk to you guys. And I've done that the last 2 weeks to you know, for you guys to watch. And it's which is over and above beyond the Call of Duty, by the way.
It
which,
is.
We appreciate
like
it.
A little bit, yeah, I'd like a little bit more rice in the bottom of my bowl that you guys are giving me, all right? That's what all I'm saying is, you know, I just want maybe it's a you know, a little Christmas bonus or something.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows what you guys could come up with?
Mark Schlereth, our guest here on Bigley and Murata Mornings. Aaron Rodgers was unhappy in the offseason. He chose to conduct himself a certain way. He got a lot of attention for it. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers was really, really terrible in week one. Bounced back on Monday night. But what do you make of all these comments that Aaron Rodgers is lobbing now towards the media and people who have an opinion on what he's doing on the football field?
Well, listen, like, the Green Bay Packers were not good in week one.
No.
And Aaron Rodgers threw a couple picks, you know, that you know, one of them he got hit in the yarbles and it was behind a guy. The other one, you know, he's chucking one deep, and the DB made actually a really nice play on the ball, stayed deep, stayed in a position. So, like I look at it a little bit differently. He had some drops. He had some really good throws. You know, when you went back and I went back and watched the film, it wasn't nearly as dramatic as the media made it out to be, and I'm sure that's why he's a little bit irritated. You know, I don't know why we're wired this way as humans. We just can't wait to write people's obituaries, right? Had one bad game, and all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers sucks, and we can't write the obit. You know, we take the pen and we you know, we put the little nib to our tongue, right? Go, ah, Aaron Rodgers is dead. You know, and then we start to fill out the rest of the obit, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he comes back and he's lights out. And, you know, that's the way it goes. And I understand the irritant, you know, that is. And as you get older, I think you just get less tolerant to put up with baloney,
yeah,
you know.
True.
And you're more apt to just call people what it, you know, just tell people what it is. There's a filter that you hit a certain age, and there's a filter that I don't know if it just gets removed or you quit caring about it, or it just gets like it becomes Teflon, and you're like, ah, whatever. You know, what are they going to do, fire me? And then, yeah, and that's when you really get good at stuff. I think that's when there's an art form to just not really caring anymore. And maybe it's, you know, when you're loaded or whatever, but, you know, both. Either, you know, from tipping a few back or when you're loaded because you got all kinds of cash and you don't got to worry about it.
Or both.
Yeah, or both.
Yeah, or both. Yeah, that's when you're a dual threat. You're loaded and loaded. I mean, that's when it's next level. You don't know what's coming out then.
Mark, in closing, as we say goodbye to you, if you end up in sensitivity training, just know our listeners adore you.
Well, I appreciate your listeners. You guys have a great rest of your week.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next week, Mark. Thank you. Mark Schlereth, NFL on Fox, 104.3 The Fan in Denver. He joins us Wednesdays to talk NFL. And we don't have to say it, but we will. He's the best.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Final thoughts, including a new candidate for the worst ever ceremonial first pitch in the history of baseball. Straight ahead. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Marotta. Song of the Day. Brought to you by Sonic. This is how we Sonic. Stop by your nearest location today for the new Sonic Grilled Cheeseburger. For a limited time, only at Sonic.
All right, today's song of the day, Vehicles. Because you know. Yes.
Well, we didn't have any songs about burgers.
Vehicle by Ides of March.
This is a great song, though.
Oh, it is. Bless. Whiskey's Quicker once covered this. Guitar Joe played the horn part on guitar. It was really cool.
Oh, really?
I liked it a lot. Yeah.
That's cool.
And really at that point, he was Horny Joe.
Whoops.
Can't say that at 9:49 a.m.
Sure can.
This is not a one.
What? He played the horn part.
Right, that's all he's saying.
You could have called him Brassy Joe.
I could have.
Trumpet Joe.
I went for a better joke.
He did. You're just jealous because you don't tell good jokes.
You were playing this because of Jarrett's question about what's the best vehicle for a burger?
Yeah. Vehicle.
All right, there you go. Ides of March.
Jarrett, are we poking too much today?
No, that was the right use of it. A vehicle for something as to present you with a burger.
Why didn't you say vessel then?
I could have said vessel.
You could have. Or vehicle.
No, I still
appalled.
Disagree. What's the best form or version of a? They were all burgers.
That
so
would
I
also
should
work.
Best vehicle for a burger. If I would have said.
No. Best vehicle for a meat patty, because that is being carried between the things. The burger is the whole deal.
That's right. She's right about that.
But is a burger a sandwich?
No.
There we go. There's today's song of the day.
Yes, of course a burger is a sandwich.
Bickley and Marotta going off the grid.
Off the grid.
Brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys. If you've been hurt in an accident, call Sweet James at 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com.
Your daily dose of Vinny Joe trivia today. Urban Meyer providing the coaching opposition to Cliff Kingsbury and the Cardinals, obviously with the very impressive history as a college football coach. Urban Meyer is tied with Lou Holtz, and Tom Osborne with 12 bowl wins. It's the sixth most of all time. They're tied. Can you name the five college football coaches who have more bowl wins than those guys?
Jim Tressel?
No.
Nick Saban?
Nick Saban has 17. He's third on the list.
Bear Bryant?
Bear Bryant has 15. He's fourth on the list.
Bobby Bowden.
Bobby Bowden is 2. He's got 22.
Joe Paterno.
Joe Paterno's number 1 with 24.
None of those count anymore, though.
Number you're missing number 5 with 14. Spurrier's got 11.
Ooh, good guess.
14 I wouldn't have guessed either. He's a current coach though in the ACC.
ACC.
It's not Dabo either. He's only got 10.
Who's the coach of...
who's the...
I couldn't even tell you. Oh, not currently in the ACC.
Yeah, he's currently in the ACC.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was going to say the Virginia Tech, the old Virginia Tech
Frank
coach.
Frank Beamer had 11. Beamer.
I don't know. Who is it?
The head coach at North Carolina.
Oh, David. Mac Davis?
Mac Davis. Yeah. The old country singer, yeah, Mac Davis. Mac Brown.
Mac Brown. Yeah.
Return of the Mac.
Return of the Mac. Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah. All right. Not a bad job.
That was a good game.
That was a tough fifth guess. By the way, did you see Conor McGregor's first pitch last night at the Cubs game?
It was outstanding. Outstanding. It was about 50 feet to the right of the catcher.
I think it's the worst first pitch I've ever seen.
Pretty bad.
And I tweeted about it last night joking that a couple guys are off the hooks.
Fitty?
Like Baba Booey and Fitty Cent should be sending gift baskets to Conor McGregor after that. There's other people that argued he's probably doing it for the publicity. And then there's other people that argued, you try throwing a baseball with a suit that's cutting off your circulation.
Exactly.
That is outstanding.
There's no space.
It looked like he did it on purpose because it was so bad.
Did you see the form before the release, though? That's a guy from Ireland who's never really thrown anything.
It's true.
Except for punches. Yeah. He was using his feet for kicking soccer balls and people's faces, apparently. Salvador Perez of the Kansas City Chiefs, Bick, the other day, he broke the all-time record for the most home runs ever in a season. This was the game. This was the record-breaking home run from the Royals announcers.
High fly ball, deep left center field. And Salvador Perez has the Royals' third two-run home run today. That's what you do with a hanging curve. I mean, it's like he knew it was coming. I'm thinking fastball, and he's thinking, he's going to go soft and make a mistake, and I'm going to make a deposit for my 46th home run.
They never mentioned the record. He beat Johnny Bench's record. They never mentioned it. Royals fans were skewering their own broadcast team.
Yeah,
because they didn't care.
Should.
I thought that was interesting. Thanks to our guest today, Mark Schlereth, Mike Fitzgerald. Thanks to you for hanging out. We'll do it again tomorrow at 6. Wolf and Luke up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.